Hello out there. Can anybody hear me?
Radio.
Can anybody hear me out there? Praise the Lord. Can anybody hear me?
Praise the Lord.
Go right ahead on. Thank you for your patience. Go ahead.
Glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, Apostle Hunter, God, he's a good God.
He is
a good God. And all those who are listening all around the world, I tell you, God is a good God. And this is the most exciting time. The most exciting time is the time we spend with him in his word. Now, if you would, please turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4.
Go right ahead.
Romans chapter 4, and let's look at verses 17 through 22. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 through 22, and this is what it says. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Now, I want you to look at this real closely right here and put a square around this. According to that which was spoken. According to that which was spoken.
Yes.
Abraham became the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. The message God has given me for you tonight is faith for what was spoken.
Amen.
Faith for what was spoken. God spoke to Abraham over in Genesis chapter 12. And he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to call you to be, I'm calling you to be the father of many nations.
He spoke
that first, according to that which was spoken. God spoke that first. You see, everything starts with a word from God. Everything starts with a word from God. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm calling you, and you're going to be the father of many nations. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and let's look at verses 1 through 3. The message is faith for what was spoken. You got to have faith for what God has spoken over your life. You see, if you don't use your faith, it's not going to come to pass. In order for what God has spoken over any of our lives, in order for it to come to pass, we've got to use our faith. And that's the message, faith for what was spoken. Abraham had faith for what God spoke to him.
Amen, amen.
Look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. See, here is God. He's what? He's speaking. You see, like I said, everything starts with the word from God. Everything.
I'm going to prove it to you
before this message is over. Everything starts with the word from God. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord had what? Said. He spoke. He said this to Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And look what he says. And I will make thee a great nation. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You see, God said it. He spoke it. It wouldn't have never even had a chance of happening until God had what? Spoken it.
Spoken.
He spoke this to Abraham. Everything starts with a word from God. Remember over in John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the what? Word. Everything begins, everything starts with a word from God. Everything starts with a word from God. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Here it is. And God said, let there be light. Yes. And there was light. You see, that's
light.
Proof. Everything starts with the word from God. There wasn't any light until God spoke light. Everything starts with the word from God. Faith for what was spoken. Abraham had to have faith for what was spoken. In the natural, Abraham had no reason to expect or hope other than the fact that God said it. Abraham had there was nothing in the natural for Abraham to even expect or hope that he could become the father of many nations. Why do I say that? Because at the time God spoke that to Abraham, he was 75 years old. And Sarah was 65 years old. They were way past in the natural. They were way past the ability to birth a baby. In the natural, Abraham and Sarah, they were way past the age of having the ability to birth a baby. But Abraham had the faith for what was spoken. And Abraham had no reason to expect or hope that him and Sarah could have a baby other than the fact that God said it. God said it. Faith for what was spoken. Faith for what was spoken. To possess what God has spoken over your life, you're going to have faith. You're going to have to use your faith. You're going to have to use your faith to possess what God has spoken over your life. Now, in the beginning, God said, he said, the Hebrew word for said is amar, amad. God spoke it. He spoke it. He said it. That Hebrew word for said is amar, amar. Can you say amar? Amar. Amar is the Hebrew word for said. God amar, let there be light, and there was light. He said it. He spoke it. He spoke it. Faith for what was spoken. Everything starts with a word from God. Everything starts with a spoken word from God. To possess what God has spoken over your life, God told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Well, it didn't happen automatically. And it didn't happen automatically. For it to take place, I'm going to show you in the word that Abraham had to use his faith. He had to use his faith. He had to believe the word. He had to speak the word. He had to act on the word. The Bible clearly lets us know that Abraham had to use his faith to possess it.
Yep.
He had to use his faith. Number one, to possess what was spoken over your life. Number one, to possess what was spoken over your life, you're going to have to stand until what God spoke come to pass. You're going to have to stand.
Amen.
You're going to have to stand until what God spoke to you come to pass. Abraham was 75 years old when God told him that he was going to make him the father of many nations if he used his faith. He was 75 years old. It didn't take place until 25 years later. You see? Abraham had to stand until what God spoke to him come to pass. You and
Amen.
I, we can't push God. God tells you he's going to do something for you. And you got to begin to use your faith. But you can't push God. God will elevate you when it's your time. You got to stay faithful. You can't push God. He'll elevate you when it's your time. You got to stay faithful. You got to stand until what God spoke to you come to pass. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. He says, for in due season, at God's appointed time, you'll reap the harvest if you faint not. You see, whatever God has spoken over your life to possess it, you're going to have to stand until what God spoke to you come to pass. Abraham stood. He stood. He stood for 25 years. People would ask him his name, and he would say Abraham, which meant father of many nations. He stood for 25 years before it come to pass. He didn't give up. He didn't stop believing. He didn't stop saying that his name was Abraham, which meant father of many nations. He kept telling people that his name was Abraham. He kept standing through all the tests, all the hard times, all the years, which took 25 years for him to have Isaac. He stood for 25 years. You've got to stand until what God spoke to you come to pass. God gave Joseph a dream. In the dream, the sun and the moon and the were bowing down. In the dream, his father, his mother, and his brothers were bowing down to him in the dream. In the dream that Joseph had, God was telling him that he was going to have power, that he was going to be elevated to a high position in the dream. But don't you know it took 13 years before it come to pass? Joseph had to stand until what God showed him, spoke to him in that vision, come to pass. He was hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold over into slavery to the Ishmaelites. He was placed into Potiphar's house, accused of a rape that he didn't commit. Then he was put into prison, for a rape that he didn't commit. But yet the Bible says, God was with Joseph. Joseph stood for 13 years until what God had spoken to him in a dream had come to pass. You see, he kept standing. He didn't give up. He didn't give up when he was in prison. He didn't give up when his brothers threw him into the pit. He didn't give up when he was sold over into slavery. A lot of people would have gave up and thrown in the towel. No, Joseph kept standing. He kept standing until what God promised him came to pass, and he ended up being second in command over all of Egypt. He was able to help his people and feed his people and take care of his people. Why? Because he stood until what God had spoken to him come to pass. Abraham stood until what God spoken to him for 25 years until it come to pass. You're not going to be able to possess what God has spoken if you don't stand. You've got to keep standing. Having done all to stand therefore. Don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, at God's appointed time, is going to happen. He's going to take what God spoke over your life is going to take place. See, the spoken word over your life is going to be tested. The word that has been released or spoken over your life or ministry or family is going to be tested. One of the tests is the test of time. It's going to be tested. And until it comes to pass, you're going to have to stand. Joseph was tested. He was tried. He was tried. That word tried means that he was refined. He was refined. Look at Psalm 105. Joseph didn't have the dream one night and then it happened the next day. No, it took 13 years. He had to stand for 13 years until what God spoke to him come to pass. Look at Psalm chapter 105, verse 17. Psalm chapter 105, verse 17. It says, he sent a man before them. God did, even Joseph. He sent Joseph before his people. And we all know that Joseph was sent before his people so he could save them from a worldwide famine that was going to take place in the future. He was able to save their lives because he stood until what God had spoken to him in a dream had come to pass. Good God Almighty. God sent a man before them, before his people, Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet were hurt with fetters. He was put sold over into slavery. He was laid in iron until the time, the due season, that his word came. The Lord tried Joseph. He tried him. That word tried right there in Hebrew means refined. He refined. You see, before you get to the throne, you're not going to be ready for the throne until you're refined, until you're tested. Until the word of the Lord is tested, we are not ready for the throne. You're not ready for what God has spoken over your life until that word is tested, until you are refined. Joseph was tried, which means refined. That's why over in Job, he said, when I come forth, I shall come forth as what? Pure gold. That's after you have been tried in the fire. That's after you have been tested and refined and developed. Look at verse 20. The king sent and loosed him. When? After Joseph had been tried, after he had been refined, after he had went through tests, then the king sent and loosed him out of prison, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord over his house and ruler over all his substance, to bind his princesses and at his pleasures and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Look at that. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Look, the word that God spoke to Joseph in the dream, it came to pass after 13 years, after Joseph was refined, after he was tested. He had to stand the test of time. You see, you can't possess what God has spoken over your life, over your family's life, over your ministry, until you stand. You got to stand until what God has spoken to you come to pass. Faith for what was spoken. To possess what God has spoken over your life, you're going to have to stand until what God has spoken come to pass. Number two. You're going to have to act according to what God has spoken over your life. You're going to have to act according to what God has spoken over your life. Over in James chapter 2, the Bible lets us know that faith without works is dead. Glory to God. Faith without works is dead. Nothing's going to happen unless you act according to what God has spoken over your life. You're going to have to use your faith. Abraham used his faith and became the father of many nations. Look at verse 4 of Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. After God had spoken to Abram, look what he said to and look what Abram did in verse 4. So Abram, after he had heard what God said, he said, I want you to leave your people and I want you to leave your kinfolk and your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. And he said, I'll make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And, you know, God told Abram all of this, and look what Abram did in verse 4. So Abram departed. Good God Almighty. He departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. You see, he acted according to what God spoke to him. You got to act according to what God speaks over your life. Faith for what was spoken. To possess what God has spoken over your life, you got to stand, number one, until what God spoke over your life come to pass. Number two, you got to act according to what God has spoken over your life. Faith without works is dead. Abraham moved according to the word that God has spoken over his life. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. And number three, my final point, you got to believe that God can do it. You got to believe that God can do exactly what he's spoken over your life. You got to believe that he can do it. unless you believe that he can do it, you're not going to have it. It's not going to happen in your life. It's not going to come to pass if you don't believe that God can do what he's spoken over your life. Number one,
Amen.
We're talking about faith for what was spoken. To possess what God has spoken over your life through prophecy, through the word of God. You got to stand, make up in your mind, I'm going to come hell or high water. I'm going to stand until what God has spoken over my life come to pass. You see, and you can't push God. A lot of people call themselves rushing God. I'm a fast, and I'm going to rush God and make it happen quicker. You can't push God with your fasting. You can't push God with your crying. You can't push him. You're going to have to wait until it's your time for him to elevate you. You got to stay faithful. You got to realize you can't push God. You're going to have to wait until the time that he's set aside to elevate you. You got to stand until what God has spoken over your life come to pass. And number two, you're going to have to act according to what God has spoken over your life. Abraham, when God told Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations if you do what I say, if you leave your kinfolks and if you leave your father's house and you go to a land that you don't know, if you go to this land, if you do all this, I'll make you a great nation. That's what God told Abraham. What did Abraham do in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 12? He departed, and he started his trip as God had spoken. You see, he acted on what God had spoken over his life. We're talking about faith for what has been spoken over your life. Faith for what was spoken. You got to stand until what God has spoken over your life. You got to stand until it come to pass. Number two, you got to act according to what God has spoken over your life. And my final point, you got to believe that God can do it. You got to believe that God can do it. Go to Romans chapter 4. Abraham believed that God could cause him to be the father of many nations. He believed God. And he believed that God could do it. He believed that God can do it. You see, if you don't believe that God can do it, you're going to do without. You're going to do without. You got to believe, for you to possess what God has spoken over your life, you got to believe with all your heart that he can do it. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 19 through 21. Abraham believed that God could do it. He believed that he could make Sarah, he believed that God could make him the father of many nations. He believed that God could give him and Sarah a baby. He believed that at 75 years old, and Sarah was 10 years younger, so that means she was 65. He believed. You see, you've got to believe. You see, God does things when, you know, sometimes he tells us he's going to do things in our lives when we think in the natural, oh, it's way past time for that. I'm too old. Or, you know what, I'm not qualified. Or, you know, too much time has passed by. Maybe I could have done it when I was younger. No, you've got to believe that none of that hinders God from doing what he want to do in your life. The only thing that can hinder God from doing what he's spoken over your life is unbelief. That's the only thing can stop God from doing what he's spoken over your life is your unbelief. You see, I'm going to show you in the Word. You've got to believe that God can do it. He looks to see, does they believe? Do they believe? Do Apostle Hunter believe? Do he believe I can do it? You see, that's what he looks for. He looks to see if you believe that he can do it. Look at Abraham. I love Abraham. He believed that God could make him the father of many nations when he was 75, and Sarah was 65, and they were in their 100s. Abraham was 100 when he had Isaac. Sarah was 90. He believed that God could do it in that old age. Now look at it in the scripture, Romans chapter 4, verse 19 through 21, and being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Even though that Sarah's womb was dead and Abraham could not, in the natural, could not produce a baby, he believed God. He staggered not, in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Abraham believed God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. You see that right there? Abraham believed that God could do it. You see, you got to believe that God, he can do it. He can do it. God looks, he's concerned with us if we believe or not. That's what he looks at. He's looking at you. He speaks a word over your life. Then he looks at you in your heart to see if you believe that he can do it. That's how God operates. Look at Matthew chapter 9, and this is my last scripture, Matthew chapter 9. God looks to see if you and I believe. And if you don't believe, you're not going to possess what God has spoken over your life. But if you believe that God can do it, you can possess what God has spoken over your life. You will possess what God has spoken over your life. If you stand until what God has spoken over your life until it come to pass, and if you act according to what God has spoken, and if you believe that he can do it, you'll possess what God has spoken over your life. Look at Matthew chapter 9, and this is my last scripture. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28 through 30. And when Yahshua was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? You see? He was concerned that if they believed. He asked them, do you believe? What? I'm able to heal you? Do you believe it? You see? That's what God wants to know, if we believe that he can do it or not. Look what he said. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus, the blind men came to him. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am what? Able to do this? You see, God wants to know if you believe that he can do it or not. He wants to know. They said unto him, yea, Lord. They said, yeah, Lord, we believe. We believe, Lord. We believe. We believe that you can do it. We believe that you can cause us to see. Then what did Jesus do? He touched their eyes. And what did he say? According to your faith, according to how you believe, be it unto you. Good God Almighty. You see, if you want to possess what God has spoken over your life, you got to continue to believe that God can do it. No matter how long you have to wait, no matter how long it's been or how many years have gone by, you have to continue to believe that God can do it. Faith for what was spoken. Number one, to possess what God has spoken over your life, you got to stand until what God spoke over your life, you got to stand until it come to pass. Number two, you got to act according to what God has spoken over your life. Abram, he moved out and started going into a land that he had no idea where he was going, but he moved out on faith just because God told him to. You see, you got to act according to what God has spoken over your life. Don't let anyone sway you. When you know you've heard from God, you do exactly what he tells you to do. Don't let situations or what you have or what you don't have or how old you are, don't let any of that sway you. Don't let any of that move you. You move according to what God has spoken over your life. And number three, you got to believe that God can do it. And that's what God gave me for you tonight, faith. For what was
spoken. Amen. 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 I tell you, that was a word from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Aaron, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good word. Good word. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Yay. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know, I like it when God brings a little correction in our lives.
Amen.
And, you know, and if I can put this, I was partly right in what I spoke, I think it was a week or so ago or last week, about Matthew's 8. You know, Matthew's 8:4. It was just that Jesus told the leper, the guy with leprosy, because let's go back to 3. When Jesus went forth and laid his hand forth and touched the man, he says, "I will, be thou healed." Because the leper man asked if Jesus would heal him, make him whole. And he said, yes. But then also what I spoke on, I sat there and I said at that time, I said, Jesus told him to go to the priest and not to tell anyone but to see the priest. So here's where God's correcting me a little bit. Now, bear with me here for a minute. Partly what was right was the fact that I said that the reason why God had told him to go to the priest first and not to speak to anyone, because he would have been stoned. Because in that time, those people had to wear like a sackcloth and they had to cover their face. And they had to go through the streets and claim, say, "I'm unclean, unclean, I'm unclean." And anyone who was to see this man, because he was thrown out of the city, so that leprosy was very contagious. It still is. That no one else would get it. They would stand away from him. But otherwise, if he walked into the city, claiming he was healed before the priest had seen him, and declared it, He probably would have been stoned to death. Now that part is clear and that is true. But just like the news media, if you don't hear the whole story, you only get part of the story. It's kind of twisted. And God showed me something because I was praying today about it, and He told me to go back here. And it says, "Offer a gift that Moses commanded." And I got thinking. I'm going, gift. What gift? What gift? And so,
he says,
"For a testimonial unto them." He says,
mm-hmm.
"Testimony unto them, unto the priest." Well, I got looking back in it, and I was got reading again. Moses had commanded the people to bring a sacrifice to the priest for healing, for deliverances, for whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was Moses' commandment. Then I got to sit there and I got reading more and kept looking into it more and more and kept on asking, gift, gift, gift. Then Jesus sat there and He is the ultimate sacrifice. He alone. It was through His mercy. It wasn't a gift that was to be given unto the priest. And He wanted to show the Pharisees that it didn't need a gift in order to be healed. It was God's mercy. It was God's mercy that came, because He was the gift. You know, I got a friend of mine. In fact, I've been talking to him, and I got to bless this young man. He's married. He has four of his own children. And I'm going to go somewhere with this. But this is a little piece of it going into it. He has a brother that's is in trouble for a lot of different reasons, molestation and some other things. I don't need to have you guys get on the phone and call the police, because it's already being taken care of, okay? And even that through prayer and everything else. But he took on the kids and brought them into his house, and he's raising four of his own. And he's sitting there and he says, he told me, "You know," he says, "I need prayer. I mean, this is just crazy. It's just, I'm getting hit from all sides." So I asked him, I said, "Well, did your wife agree to this thing of bringing these children into your home?" And he said, "Yeah, we were in full agreement on it." And I said to him, I says, "You're sacrificing a lot." He says, "Yeah, man." He says, "I need help. I don't know what to do." Now, here we go with the word sacrifice. And it says, listen, let me put something to you this way. Because somebody asked me one time. He says, you love your mother. He says, you love your mother, right? And I said, yeah. He says, you love your mother just with everything you got. He says, she's your mother, and you love her. And I said, yeah. He says, well, what if your mother was just as plain and evil and deceptive as anything can be, even though you love your mother? Most everybody loves their mother. And he says, what if you had to stand at the gates of heaven knowing that she was pure evil inside, even though you loved her? Would you allow her into the gates, into heaven? I says, God has to look mm-hmm. at each and every one of us, and he has to make that same clear decision because he knows our hearts.
Amen.
Now, here's the sacrifice of what you're going into. I said, because the molestation and everything else is going on with the kids. I said, as your heart is as pure as it is to want to bring these children in, I said, are you bringing these kids in and doing these things and knowing that this is bringing trouble into your house? Just the same as if your mother was stepped through the gates of heaven, she would bring trouble into the gates of heaven. I said, you need to put the oxygen mask on yourself first. I said, because you got to take care of yourself. I said, then your wife comes second because she's the most important thing to you in your life other than God. And then 30th is your children. I says, and if God will allow you to have those other children, that you be that seed, you be that light, you be that whatever else for those children, then praise God. Then ask for his mercy to help you and guide you and direct you through all this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, we have, and I hate to say this, and I'm trying to be, the only word I come up with is shysters. God forgive me for this word, but there are some people out there that sit there, you know, they preach that thing that says, do you want a $10 healing? Do you want a $100 healing? Do you want a $1,000 healing? You know, Jesus got table flipping mad because those people were in the temple selling chickens, goats, selling whatever else for sacrifices to the Pharisees for their healings, for their deliverances, or for whatever else they needed. Jesus saw this. He went and flipped the tables over. There's a nice little racket. Priests got to eat good. The merchants, they got to sit there and pocket the money to go buy more animals from the farmers to sell to the peasants, unbeknownst to them, that they're buying a sacrifice and a sacrificing. And truly what my message is here is, what are we sacrificing?
That's good.
What are we sacrificing?
Amen.
You know, God
Amen.
Doesn't want a sacrifice. He wants us, brother, just like you preach, our faith to believe and trust in him. That's
Amen.
The sacrifice he is looking for us. Not, well, let's see, I got $100. If I throw this in as an offering over and above my tithes, I'm not saying do not give tithes, do not give offerings. God forbid, that's not where I'm coming from. But if that's what you've got in your heart and believing that sacrifice is going to multiply you, then you're being deceived. You're deceiving yourself because that's not what God is wanting us to do. He wants us to sacrifice ourselves. He wants us to sit there and put ourselves in that position that we can only count on him and on his mercy. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, it's good to be able to sit there and your tithes and your offerings and stuff like that. This is not where I'm going with that because I'm a firm believer in tithes and offerings. ministries and everything else cannot exist without tithes and offerings. And that's not where I'm going with this at all. But where I'm going is your spiritual attitude, your spiritual waking, and that it is in your heart as to why you are giving and what you're giving for. Are you just giving $100 because you're expecting and you're hoping for that $100 healing or that $1,000 healing or that $10 healing? Do you see where I'm coming from with this? You know, we can go a little bit further down in scripture in Matthew's 8, where we go down where Jesus goes into the city of Capernaum, I think it is, and he runs into a sentry. Now, this sentry is a commander, whether he be a general or captain or whatever it is, because he sits there and he has men under him that are he can tell them to go left, go right, go out, and you know, whatever it is, you know, and tell them to come and go. He had that authority and that power to do all that. Now, it didn't say whether that man walked across the street to see Jesus or he walked across town or whether he got in his chariot or on his horse and rode from one city to another city. But it just says that he was met. He met Jesus. And what he was going for was not for his son or his daughter or his wife, mother or father or anyone else, but it was for a servant of his.
Amen.
It was a sacrifice of his time, but knowing and believing that his sacrifice and in that attitude that God could heal that man, because he sat there, he told Jesus about it, and Jesus said, "Well, I'll come to your house." And he says, "No, don't worry. You don't have to come to my house. All you got to do is speak the words, and I know my servant will be healed."
Amen.
And God says,
"Amen."
Such faith.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This man had, and he was not a Jew. He was a Roman soldier.
Amen.
But he knew and understand that of the process of authority and the authority that Jesus walked in and the authority and that of his mercy and of his grace. He understood, because as he being a commander, he could command the forces to go into battle or retreat. But he went for a servant. He sacrificed that day, that time, that hour, that whatever it was it took, a point, because his beloved and his love for that servant was greater. So I'm asking you right now out there who is listening, what are you sacrificing? Are you sacrificing from your heart to such a deed? The understanding that you would humble yourself before God and knowing that you cannot do this alone. Or you reaching in your pocket and you sit there and you're pulling out for that $10 healing, the $100 healing, or that $1,000 healing, or whatever it is. Are you sacrificing from your heart? Are you sacrificing out of the love for someone? My friend is sacrificing for the love of those children. There's nothing. I have to put this in there that I spoke about. He's sacrificing himself, his house. He's sacrificing for the love of these children. And I know God will see this. And God will sit there and honor this sacrifice. But in the meantime, he is going through some pains. He's going through some pains because these kids have a little difficulty and problems because they've been molested. And now, unfortunately, it was from his own brother and his brother's children. That's part. But like I said, this is all being taken care of. You don't need to get on the phone. You don't need to be calling the police and anything else, because this matter is being dealt with as it goes. But in the meantime, it is breaking his heart. And I hope that you would keep this man in prayer and his family in prayer, you know, because he is allowing something into his house that he's not sure how to deal with it.
Amen.
But he's also dealing with a lot of other things, you know, and God is providing, because he just told me last night, he says he might be getting a raise and he might be getting a promotion, so that will help cover some of the costs and everything else for raising these extra kids that are coming into his house.
Amen.
Amen.
So like I said, you know, what are we sacrificing? Is it a monetary sacrifice? Are we sacrificing from our heart? Are we sacrificing our lives for Christ and putting down our will to do his will? Are we sacrificing ourselves with the expectation that God is going to bless us? You know, there's a lot of people who have given and given and given and given and given and given and going to the poorhouse. Not that God didn't recognize or didn't see their giving. It may have been what they were giving and how they were giving. They cared less or not if they received anything here on earth, or they were hoping that their reward would be greater in heaven. I don't know. God judged their hearts on that. God sees that, and he understands that. And he also understands what degree of sacrifice that we are sacrificing. What degree are we sacrificing ourselves, and for what reason? You know, we're seeing a lot of things that's going on in this world, and we're you know, even myself, I've sat there over the years. When I was traveling and walking and stuff like that, I would sit there and pick up nickels, dimes, and quarters off the street. And that was to basically get a meal, even though I was ministering. I wasn't panhandling. I wasn't going out, and I was asking, because God sat there and said that his children would not be beggars. But there was always something there. I always found money to be able to get the food that I need to feed myself. But there was a time I did go out. I went out on my own without God, figuring I'm going to go out and I'm going to do these wonderful, great things. And every time I sit there and went out, and I sit there and I picked up a handful of change off the sidewalk, off the street, to the parking lot. Sure, I'll try it sometimes. I call it treasure hunting. And sometimes it's fun. But then sometimes it's out of necessity and you're going, thank God. But the thing is, I stepped out with a whole different attitude than it was when God sent me out. Because I sacrificed myself according to the will of God. But when I went out on my own to do the same thing and everything else, I went out with the anticipation that, well, God's going to bless me for this. And instead, what happened was, every time I picked up the change off the streets or off the sidewalks as I was walking down the roads or walking through the cities or wherever I was going, someone came up and said to me, and I don't know how, it was like, you got a quarter? Hey, you got 39 cents? Just as much as what I picked up off the streets, I had the exact amount of money, whatever they asked for. If it was 75 cents, if it was 92 cents, if it was a dollar and a quarter, I had it in my pocket and I would give it to him. I was starving, but I gave it. But I gave it to him. So what my sacrifice was in vain. You understand what I'm saying? My sacrifice was in vain. Even though God saw it, he saw the clarity, he saw what was going on. He allowed me to continue to walk in this. So I sit there and says, hey, this is crazy, man. These guys are eating and I'm not. There's something wrong here. God kept me, though. He kept me. He kept his hand upon me. He watched over me. He protected me, even though I was being out there on the road doing these things. But it was a learning lesson for me. It was a learning curve for me. And, you know, and I'm being straight up and honest with you. You know, I would go, sometimes I would go to the homeless shelters, you know, like the Salvation Army, and I'd lay down on the cot next to these other people, and I would minister to them. I don't know how many ministers would be able to sit there and do something like that, but I would do that.
That's good.
You know, and then, and it's the same thing. I have a website where I minister to rural families all over the world and people in high places, which I'm not bragging on. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bragging on this, because God has set a place up there for me to do this, and he's blessed me with it. And a lot of people don't know the site, and I don't let it out because, for the simple fact, I can't let it out because these people are entrusting me. They talk to me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But like I said, and I'm right up front and honest, just as I am being honest with you right now. And the thing is, like I said, the whole message tonight is what are we sacrificing? What are we sacrificing and why? Are we doing it to gain prosperity? Are we doing it to gain the prestige? You see, Joseph, he was sacrificed. Basically, he was sold into slavery. And yet, he did everything that he was asked to do. And it's like you said, he was convicted of rape that he didn't do. He done all these other things, but he knew the promise of God. But he continued to work in the things that he was doing.
That's right.
He was sacrificing himself for the glory of God, because he knew there was something greater. He knew there was something better. But he was doing it out of obedience.
That's right.
He was doing it out of obedience and out of faith and believing and trusting. God knew his heart. God knew he was going to go through this, because he knew where Joseph was going to be. He knew the same as where Daniel was going to be when he was thrown into the lion's den.
That's right. He knew.
God knew right exactly, because those who he's called, he is predestined. All we have to do is have faith and believe and trust and move on and go forward and everything. And if we're doing it in the will of God.
Yes, sir.
And we're doing it in that of the need, not for ourselves, but for our brothers.
Yes, sir.
Just like that man where he's taking in these kids. He's doing it out of his heart. Just as the centurion that sat there, that commander, was doing it for his servant. For the love of his servant. See, when, go back into where Jesus sat there and told that man to go into the city, he says, to yourself, and as a gift that of Moses had commanded, he wanted to show the Pharisees that it wasn't the gift of giving of the sacrifices that they were receiving, but it was God's mercy in the first place. If God's mercy is upon our lives, he is upon our will, mercy is upon everything that we do, that we surrender ourselves, we sacrifice ourselves to Christ. We sacrifice ourselves to Yeshua. We sacrifice ourselves to Jesus. We sacrifice ourselves. And that sacrifice is being into obedience. And that sacrifice means, okay, Lord, if I have to sit here for 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years, okay, this is where I'm going to sit. Okay, Lord, if you want me to go out in the middle of the jungle, or you want me to be on that boat in the middle of the ocean, Where you want me to be, okay, I'll be there. That's my sacrifice unto you.
That's right, amen. God
bless you for that. It's not a monetary sacrifice. It is a heartfelt. It is a soul binding. It is a heart-beating sacrifice unto Christ. And his mercy, it goes further and greater than anything that we can actually sacrifice. Whether, like I said, it's not a chicken, it's not a duck, a lamb, a goat, or a calf, whatever it is. That's all monetary. But what is sacrificed mostly is our spirit, our heart, soul, and body. So I ask right now, for anyone who is listening, what are you sacrificing? Why are you sacrificing it? And how are you sacrificing it? And those questions only you can answer, because God knows your heart. Don't deceive yourself. Change those things that need to be changed in your life and set yourself free from the worldly sacrifices and start presenting yourself as a spiritual sacrifice unto the Lord. That's my word for the night.
Amen.
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 Oh, glory. Praise the living God.
Hallelujah.
God is good. Oh,
He's
my
good.
Lord. He's good.
Amen.
And I want to say to you, brother, tonight, who have blessed the radio station tonight and have done what God has told you to do and had the patience, because I'm going to tell you, when you have a good fight, you got. See, when you win a good fight, you don't mind boasting that God did it.
Amen.
That God did it. Amen.
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 Amen. And see, for the last, I'll share it with you, so we can all get the victory and give God the glory. The devil has challenged all of us on this radio station, behind the scene, in the scene, by the scene, through the scene.
Amen.
But we kept our word.
Glory
we
to God.
We are committed. When we
Amen.
Are committed, and as the apostle was saying earlier before you, Pastor, he was saying, God's got to see if he can trust you. And why it took Abraham that long? Why did it take Joseph that long? Because God had a time. It's not because, well, I'm the old man, I got a voice, I can sing, I can pray. I should be up there. God ain't ready for you to get up there. It's like it was said in the Old Testament. God
said,
promotion don't come from the east and the west. But God say, puts down, he picks up. And so I said, okay.
That's
you
right.
Waiting means you got to have patience.
That's right.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, brothers, y'all don't know how y'all have blessed me. Y'all have blessed me beyond I can even speak a word. All I can say, I love you, and I thank God for you. Because
I love you.
Tonight,
thank God for your boss.
Amen. Everything was suddenly, and I've had a hit here and a hit there, and when I tried to get back on the radio, one thing I had to put up there, and with him, I said, well, I said, Lord, I said, I ain't come this far to give up.
That's right.
And yeah, I said, no, I didn't come this far. And when I called the apostle, a few years, hold on, we'll be right on. And he stayed the faith, and here we are. And heard a great testimony out of you, apostle, and to the pastor tonight, from his heart, what God is doing to the believers. That's what God is doing in these hours we now live in.
Amen.
It's like a brother up to say it. He said, God has those in charge of the church. He's getting you ready to go out there and do the fight. You got to sharpen up, hone up, pray up, look up, because God got a need for you.
Amen.
And I want to share passages with you. My wife, Martha, my sister's son has been in the hospital, and he's had an infection since he was a baby. They don't know what it was. Started his leg, worked all the way up to his throat. But I declare and decree,
yes,
that he shall live and not die.
Yes, he shall live and not die.
And people have told me, said, you always got to say that because it's got to say it. I got to say it. He shall live. His name is.
He shall live and not die.
He shall live and not die. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He shall live and not die.
Not
and die. Declare the works of the Lord. Ralph is
Amen.
His name. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe, I've been praying in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. Amen. See that name when you, and I'm going to let us go. I love y'all. God knows. When that name, Yeshua HaMashiach, is echoed in heaven, all the angels get the attention. Yeah. What have you all done? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
What are you all doing on the earth realm?
Hallelujah.
They're waiting for his command. Father, I thank you for my brothers. I thank you for them. I pray we will stay together. We will do your will. We will do the thing that you have called the believers to do. Not because of skin context or attitude, but because of what you have blessed us with. We all have the same abilities, and we say thank you. In
thank
the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I want to bless those who are coming on, those who are standing right now. And then, Father, I just want to say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen, amen. And remember
amen.
My words. I love you, I love you, I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Until the next time, God bless you, and I'll see you then, okay?
God
amen.
Bless you.
God
bless
amen.
You,
Shalom.
Shalom.
Praise the living God. Good night.